I'm not trying to embarrass anybody tonight by what we're going to do, rather than just try to have you participate and help. So if there's something that you don't want to do here, just say so. Or if you don't have a comment, want to ask you a question on it, you know, that's fine. Or if you just say, I don't know something, but that's fine. But got everybody that wants to put in? I'm going to mix these up pretty good here. They got them all. Everybody's got a chance in there? Okay. You probably thought that this was going to be a basket of heaven snakes tomorrow. I can't do that trick, so. Any more? Jorge, you got some more there? Well, we got them all. Okay. Number one, Linda Michener. Come on up here, Linda, and you can sit up in the front. Okay. Like I said, I only have that thing that I can fudge on the first one here. She's going to be our helper to take and pick up some names. That's what her job is going to do. So without looking in the basket at the names, take and pick out three more of us. Three more papers, if you would, please. Okay, the lucky people are. Bradley, you don't have to come up. You can just stay right there. We just had to have her come up front so she can sit down there. Marge Palmer and Gail Cully. Okay, so for the first three here, what I'm going to have you do is just give your, off the top of your head, what does the word read, R-E-A-D, mean to you? That's all we're asking is some simple questions here tonight. And if you have a comment, that's great. If you don't want to comment on it, that's great. But if you have a comment, Bradley, anything on the word read, what does that mean to you? And talk out loud here. You can stand up and face the people there so they can hear you. He probably doesn't want to talk. Bradley? You can think about it. Okay, Mrs. Palmer or Marge? Okay, getting a message from the printed page. Gail? No. That's a different spelling. I said R-E-A-D. I know. I don't either, but that is a difference. R-E-E-D is a read versus R-E-A-D. So give me your other thought, read or read, depending on how it's used. Any thoughts that way, besides a musical instrument?
Okay, well, words conveying a message.
Okay, words conveying a message. Bradley, anything else? No? Okay. Okay, so that's the first one here on reading. Got a couple comments on the word reading. First of all, is in this past month of Reader's Digest, there was this little tidbit in there that I enjoyed, that there's a lady, a mother, that was trying to read a newspaper, and she was having a little bit of trouble because the newspaper sometimes is difficult to read and concentrate on what's going on. Never mind getting interrupted by a six-year-old all the time. So finally she says to the six-year-old, this is the fifth time I've read the same sentence. This is the fifth time I've read the same sentence. And so the little six-year-old responds, what's the matter, she asks. Too many big words? From a child's perspective there. So I thought that was pretty good. Reading takes individual words and just connects them together. Now, as the two ladies said, it has a further purpose, they feel. But it takes some words that have a word and have meaning, and they connect them together. Draw another name out of there, if you would, Linda, please. And what is it? Who is it? Huh? Your father, Mr. Goodyear. Okay, would you like to take and read Revelation 1:3 for us, please? Revelation 1:3. And you could turn to it if you'd like to turn to it, or just listen to the verse. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Okay, thanks. As we talk about God's Word, it's more than just some words linked together that are connected together. They do have a tremendous amount of meaning. And God's Word, even for the book of Revelation, promises a blessing for you if you read those, if you read that prophecy. Draw another name, if you would, there, Linda, please. Okay, Michelle, I need you to take and read Nehemiah chapter 8. So you can, everybody else can turn to that so you can follow these. Nehemiah chapter 8, several verses there, give them to you when you're ready to have Nehemiah chapter 8. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3, and also verse 8. Okay, thank you. Again, you might want to jot that down, Nehemiah 8, 1 through 3 and verse 8, and look at those later on a little bit, if you haven't looked at those before, about reading. And it was it 5-minute read? No. How long was it? Quite a long time there, right? So it was a long time, but they were people that were what, children? It was a great many people, but what does it say about them? People, if it was real small children, they may not, what, understand. So it was people that had understanding, capable of understanding. And as they read, they not only read, but they tried to make sense out of it and make it have some meaning. So words were put together and connected together, and they had a sense behind it. It wasn't just some words with no meaning. So as the two ladies said, as reading has thought behind it, trying to convey some other things. Okay, Linda, pick out 3 more names and give me those names here. I'll take and
take those 3.
Okay, we have Jen. So I'm assuming Jennifer Palmer. She's the only Jen we got here, right? Gavin Reeb. Huh? I'm sorry, Jennifer Silver. Gavin Reeb and Renee Reeb. Okay, for you three, I'd like you to comment on what your thoughts might be off the top of your head of the word meditating. The word meditating. Okay, Jennifer's got her hand up. Go. Huh? You don't get an alphabet? Oh, not enough time. Okay, well, just give me off the top of your head what you thought of it, what you think about the word. You don't get enough time to do it. Is that what your comment is? Okay, your first thought. Very good. I didn't get it at first. I had to think about it. Meditate. Gavin. Nothing? Okay, Renee. Spending time what? Okay, spending time thinking on something. Is it reading? No, it's not necessarily reading, but I would say that it includes the thought of reading. Everyone turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. Maybe there's other places where this word occurs. But in this chapter here, we'll start at verse 13 as Paul gives this information to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So he mentions about reading. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbyter. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. So it would appear that reading is separate from meditating, and he has some other things there, and perhaps those other things might be just different ways of what you might be getting out of your reading or your meditating. But the two that stand out to me in those is the reading and the meditating. And so as you take and read, as they were saying about thinking, I would think that you could think on what you had read, either by reading or listening. You could probably even do it by listening as well and meditating on those thoughts. A brief thought is different from the reading is it's kind of daydreaming on connected words. In reading, we have individual words that are connected together. On meditating, we have connected words, and then as you daydream on them, as you think upon them, then they might take on some other meaning or thought process as well, too. So it's like another level up. It's another step up from reading, and it includes reading. Okay, Linda, give me three more there, if you would, please. Okay, and we'll hold you in suspense here to see who they are for a moment. Turn over to 2 Timothy, and we'll get to this in a moment. Last Sunday, Tim had the message in the morning there, and as he talked about service, he was talking about one aspect of doing what Christ asked us to do. And so, in God's Word, he asked us to do some things. And we could take and be talk. We could talk about, first of all, like salvation. Are we commanded to be saved? Are we commanded to be saved? Think about that. It's not the will of the Lord that we should perish, but does he command us to be saved? You think so? Yeah, whosoever. So he doesn't take and command you to be saved. He would like everybody to be saved. But he leaves that up to you. It's your free choice on that. He can't command you to say. He provides everything that you need for salvation. But I don't think he commands you to take and come and receive that salvation. But then there's other things that he does command us to do. One is to be what? Be holy. Okay, that's the thing that he commands us to do. That was one that I didn't have on the list, but it's a good one. Be holy. The things that we talk about, even tonight we were mentioning here, was mentioned. Obedient and baptism and gathering together for the Lord's Supper. Both of those things we emphasize many times about being obedient and following his command to take and do those things and following those steps, being baptized and doing the Lord's Supper. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, well-known verse. You probably even know it without looking at it, but you can read the words and have it in front of you for everybody. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we have three other people here. We have Matt, we have Brent, and we have Kathy Palmer. Again, off the top, you have maybe some thought of what the word study might mean to you guys. Matt, go ahead. School? Study is associated with school, yeah, okay. How about Brent? Anything, Brent? Nothing? Kathy? Yeah, there's a lot of studying in college all day long. I didn't hear the rest? Yeah. Okay, so it's a long period of time that you felt was studying. Studying, it says in here, is, I think, another command that we don't emphasize by the different churches too much, that one that we should be found. We take a command and say that people should be baptized. We say that they should be at the Lord's Supper. But I think this is also a command, just like it is to be holy, is to study. And I think perhaps we take and forget to do that because it involves a long process. Pat associated with school. Kathy says it was in college, did a long time. It's something that takes time to do. Is it the same as reading? Is it the same as meditating? No. Reading is at the start, meditating is next, and then there's study at the end. So study includes the other two, as far as I'm concerned. And then there's different types of study. Last Thursday we had a study by Jorge as to what? As he had his message last Thursday. On words? Okay, words from where? Besides God's word? Words from where? Hebrews. Yeah, they're Greek words. But the portion of scripture, Hebrews 12:1, okay? And a couple after that. So he had a word study. So that's a type of study, and he did that last week. We've been having a study on Romans by some of the men. That's a book study. And then there's topical studies. There's personal studies or people studies. And maybe there's some others that you would include. But different types of studies that you can do. And so the verse goes on to say, study to show thyself approved unto God. As you study, he commands you to do this, not for our approval at the church here, not for your mother's approval, your father's approval, not for your any pure approval. The approval is from God himself. He's looking to take and have you study his word by taking the time to take and read it, by taking the time to meditate on it, and by taking the time to just go beyond those two steps and even think about it further, to take and study and have his approval. And then it goes on to gives an illustration of a workman. It doesn't say what type of a workman, it just says a workman. So it could be anybody that does some kind of labor. It's not anybody specific. From any person that does laborious work to somebody else that does laborious work, it's just a workman. Somebody that's doing work, God considers, he realizes that studying is work. But it's a person, as he does this work, that does not need to be ashamed. And that if you rightly divide the word of truth, you'll get the right meaning out of it. So that means that they could possibly get the wrong meaning. So that's why they warn against the false teachers in the latter times. Because they can get the wrong interpretation. They can get the wrong study of it. And so we should be doing the study, not because we're told to do it from the church or from your parents or whatever, but because God asked us to do it, to study his word, and he'll take and help us do that. It involves, as I said, the reading and the listening and the meditation and then going on beyond that. All right, Linda, take and draw one more there. Let's see. For now.
And I need to go back to your seat if you like. I'll just say this for a second.
Turn in your black hymn books, your black song book. Number 33, if you would. Briefly, I've tried to introduce something that you sort of know through the back of your head, reading, meditating, and studying. Take it a little step further here, a little bit of an application. As we sang this last week, I came across verse 3. Clothed in garments of salvation, at thy table is our place. We rejoice, and thou rejoicest. In the riches of thy grace, it is meet we hear thee saying, we should marry, be, and glad. I have found my once lost children. Now they live who once were dead. So the idea of it has, it is meet we hear thee saying. And as I sang that, I was wondering, what does that mean? I'm not quite sure. So I went home and looked it up, and so the rest of this, a little bit of a time. I need somebody to take and just work the overhead for me. Whoever would like to just scroll this up for me. I'll tell you when to move it up there, Clint, if you will. I was amazed that when I looked up this word, M-E-E-T, just a little word in the dictionary, and the list that it has, it has a number of definitions, and these first parts are basically verb transitives, and so I'll give you the definition. In other words, I'm reading it to you, and as you meditate upon it and think about it a little bit, I'll give you what you're going to see up here is a sentence that would give you an example of that particular definition. So the first one, if you just want to show the first one there, Clint. Okay, if you want to turn the lights off, I don't know if it'll help you, or if you can see good enough. This definition says to come upon or come across. And so this first sentence, to come upon or come across, here's a little sentence, I did not expect to meet the president, would be an example perhaps of that. Meeting the president, to come across or come upon a person is one definition. The next definition that you're going to have up here, go ahead and do the second one. To come face to face with or to confront. A little example of a sentence is, I did not expect to meet my boss at this place. I did not expect to meet my boss at this place, face to face in a confrontation. Okay, number three, you can move it to number three there. To be present at the time of arrival. An example sentence of that would be, he met the bus. Okay, next one, Clint. To come into contact or connection with, her hand met his was an example, one of the examples I got. Her hand met his, so to come into connection with. Next definition. First one is, this one has two parts to it. To come into the presence of, an example of this, I enjoyed meeting some sports person or some other figure or some other person, but I enjoyed meeting whoever. Second part along that lines is to be introduced to or to get acquainted with. I will meet them shortly for the first time. So as you can see as we go through this, a little bit of slight variations what we're familiar with. Okay, number six there. To fight with. I will meet my opponent in the ring. We're doing a boxing match or something. Okay, he has another part of this one. To face, he met angry words with a laugh. And then there's the third part also to this because they sort of have the same thought. To oppose or to deal with effectively. Came up with, he will meet the other candidate with the facts. So he's opposing the other candidate with what he has as facts. So I will meet the candidate with what I have as facts. Another one is on seven, to experience. an experience would be he will meet disaster. Number eight, to come within the perception of, that is your eye or your ear, I will meet the speaker possibly. And then there's just the two more here. Nine, to comply with or satisfy, I will meet all the requirements. And then the last one, to pay, I will meet the bill by its deadline. Okay, so you can just put them all there, Clint, so they can just see them. Well, okay. That's good enough there. So here's the word meet, and it has all these different definitions. Now, that's just one part of it. Then there's also the part of a noun. And that is a meeting or a gathering at a track meet. That's what we would normally think of this word. Or the people who meet at an assembly. Or the place of meetings. And so that's as a noun form. Okay, let's just shut that thing off and turn the lights back on. It has also the adjective form of the word. And under that, it has suitable, appropriate, fitting, as this meet that you should go. So all these definitions, and there's more too, I guess, besides that, I couldn't believe that you'd find this in the Word. So you can read the definitions, and then as you meditate on those definitions, you're going to take and maybe figure out some different ways to use it. But the study part comes into this song here. What's the definition that we should be putting in for this song? Okay, fit or appropriate, or the adjective part. The adjective parts are suitable or appropriate or fitting. And so as you read the stuff, as you take and meditate on it, and as you do some more contemplating or whatever, I would say that that's the right definition. It is meat, we hear these saying. Uncle Dave, how about reading Luke? Because he's the one that was drawn here. Luke 15 and verse 32. Okay, it's talking about the prodigal son and his father's responding to the second son who was upset that the son got the royal treatment. And so the song is somewhat based upon the prodigal son story there in Luke chapter 15. And as you study it and think about it, it is appropriate that he did this for his son. But the other son didn't think so. So you can think upon that. You can meditate upon that as you've heard it and study it and think more upon it. But this song was based on that particular portion of study. Turn in your Bibles for just real quickly one set of verses in Daniel, and then we're finished here for this evening. Daniel chapter 1. And then thank you to all the different ones that helped out there and participated. Daniel chapter 1. As we try to talk about reading, meditating, and then studying, we use this little example of the word meet, M-E-E-T, as to show the different aspects of those three things. So as somebody thinks about studying, it seems like it's a lot of work. We don't want to do that. And yet I said that the main point to get out of this evening is God commanded us to do that. God commands us to study. So we might be saying, okay, where's the shortcuts? That's what we would be thinking. Where's the shortcuts? Well, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 3 we'll start. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, youth in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and gifted in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And so here were these people, along with the people, the other people that they had captured, in that position. How long was this studying taking place? Because I'm not saying it's reading, it's studying. How long did it take place? 3 years, because it says that in the next verse. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's food and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of them they might stand before the king. And so their college for them was a 3 year period to take and do studying, not just reading, but further study, meditating into the study form. The result of that we find in verse 17, same chapter. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. They had some of that ability to start with, so God used what they had. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king conversed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all manners of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And so for the study period, they graduated in flying colors because they were looking at things that were pertaining to God as well as learning all the things that they needed. So God wants us not only just to read his word, because many times, as I found out, you read it and you don't even know what you read, but to take and read it and meditate upon it, but further to take and study it, to spend some time. The difficult thing to do is to spend the time and really put the things together with the help of the Holy Spirit and other godly people, godly men. And so we can be thankful for our meeting that we have these kind of services to help people. But you have your own ability to take and do what you can study, and you have the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I trust that you may use that in the weeks ahead to study his word for his glory.